The telephone number is 786-456-4837 if you want to talk to Tim Kirkshian. He always has a very strong and informed perspective when it comes to skill levels in that sport. And I was mentioning earlier in the show, Tim, that I'm sitting there watching Ureña against Evaldi yesterday. These are two guys who are just mediocre by, you know, the standards of the sport. But what they were doing yesterday looked to me like Kevin Brown in his prime, you know, winning 20 games, throwing a shot put up there. So before I get to Christine Lisi, it's very important to me to hear from you to explain to me how it is that this skill level has arrived in such a place where Ureña and Evaldi are throwing 99 miles an hour. They're hitting the black again and again, and they're not the good pitchers in this sport.
Right, Dan, this all changed several years ago when the pitchers just got their brains beat out every single night. And they said, all right, we're going to do something about this. They all got bigger and stronger. They all hired a pitching coach when they were 8 years old. Now they've developed this ridiculous velocity. They have secondary pitches that guys 20 years ago simply didn't have. They throw so unbelievably hard. They never throw a fastball in a fastball count anymore. And most days, the hitters have absolutely no chance to get a hit off most of our pitchers today. When they locate, you are out. You can know what's coming, and they can still get you out. Lance Berkman's final year in the big leagues, he told me every single night, this is like 6 years ago, someone comes out of the bullpen throwing 95 miles an hour, and I've never even heard of him. This is where we are in the game right now, Dan. That's why the strikeout rate is so unbelievably out of control. I keep track of four strikeout games every day for individual hitters, three, four, five guys a day now. That's how hard it is to get a hit in the big leagues. And yet, if you miss location with these hitters today and the way they approach and the way they can get the ball up in the air, they don't just hit a single to left field. They hit it 30 rows up.
Christine, I'm sorry I interrupted you.
And finally, we're closer to the year of the television show The Jetsons was set in, which is 2062, than the original air date of the series, 1962. How about that?
How about that? Timmy, I had a weird argument with my friend the other day where I was the one arguing that the Dodgers being plus 108 through 51 games is one of the most impressive things in the history of Major League Baseball. Am I wrong?
It's pretty darn good. Stu Gotts, only five teams have ever outscored their opponents by more than two runs per game, and that's where the Dodgers have a chance to be at the end of the season. Now, other teams, of course, did it during 162 or 154 games, which is even more remarkable. The 39 Yankees outscored their opponents by 411 runs in 154-game season. That's just pounding people. And that's what the Dodgers can do because they pitch so well and they can hit the ball out of the ballpark.
Tim, back to stud pitchers for a second and let you know, I just want you to know that there's a right answer to this question. I want you to choose. You have three pitchers in the major leagues to build around. If you want to start a rotation right now, choose the three pitchers you're going with.
Well, Sixto Sanchez is number one.
Tim Kirkshian,
wow.
That's what I'm talking about.
Sixto.
Ooh, number one, Kirkshian.
Right, and Sandy Alcantara is number two, and Pablo Lopez is number three.
What? He played a joke on me. He's kidding.
The Marlins
have you got me.
He just did that to you. He really got me too. He is absolutely on to you. That's the meanest thing Tim Kirkshian has ever done.
You weren't kidding about Sixto, Tim. Come on, be honest.
Look, that kid is great. And all kidding aside, this is why the Marlins, who are the fifth seed at the moment, if they get in, at this point I think they might, they're going to have three starting pitchers that no one wants any part of in the postseason. So there is hope for the Marlins, and Sixto Sanchez has been tremendous. We all know he was traded for JT Realmuto, who's a great player and is going to get paid unbelievably in the offseason, but this is the reward for trading your everyday catcher?
Now answer that question seriously.
Well, Gerrit Cole is too old to be on that list, but he is ridiculously good still. We haven't seen anybody like Gerrit Cole in some time. Last year, fellas, he struck out a batter in 73 consecutive innings. Think about that for a second. We went back and tried to find the last guy who had anything close to that, and Pedro Martinez, 1999-2000, struck out a batter in 49 consecutive innings. Gerrit Cole was at 73 consecutive innings. That's how dominant a pitcher he can be. And with the way the Yankees are swinging the bat right now, which is absurd, by the way, and Cole gets back to real form, then that's pretty good.
When Pedro Martinez says of Sixto, he's a mini-me with better stuff, that can't be right, correct?
Nobody had better stuff than Pedro. Nobody, Dan. He, for a short period, like 5 years, is the greatest pitcher I have ever seen. The 99-2000 seasons combined, his ERA was 3 runs lower than the league average for a two-year period. He was 190. The major league average was 490. He, at one point, had, I believe, the best fastball, changeup, and curveball in the game all at the same time. No other pitcher that I can remember has ever had even the three best pitches in the game all at the same time. I mean, Koufax, fastball, curveball, probably in the 60s, but not all three. That's how great Pedro was, and he's very charitable with things, but no matter how good Sixto Sanchez becomes, he will never be as good as Pedro Martinez, because I have never seen anybody that good for a short period, at least, in my life.
So what you're saying, Tim, is Pedro Martinez is a liar.
He's a what?
A liar.
A liar. A liar.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, Pedro was just being very nice to Sanchez, who deserves all the credit he gets, but he's not Pedro. Nobody is Pedro.
All right, so do you believe that Matt Patricia looks like the son of a motorcycle repair shop owner who can upgrade your front suspension, but he has to, quote, check with the old man first? Does Frank Vogel look like a mild-mannered small-town dentist whose basement harbors a dark secret? Does Adam Silver look like the lone icy twig on a tree in the dead of winter? Does Mike McCarthy look like he belongs, or he's been the top salesman at the Tri-State's largest above-ground pool and hot tub emporium for 5 years running, and he's got the custom-made belt buckle to prove it? Does Mike Budenholzer look like the tech CEO who is now in a full body cast from sustaining a serious injury falling off a horse at a ranch he took his employees to for a weekend team building retreat?
Save that.
He does look like that.
He really does.
Budenholzer, two-time MVP. The guy's never been to the finals. Tim, thank you for being on with us. We appreciate it.
Okay, guys.
If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami-only hour and the Big Suey on demand in the ESPN app. And subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends podcast network featuring South Beat Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcasts. Dan, it is time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
What did you do with Stupidity this week? When did it drop? What's on it?
We dropped it today. There was such an overwhelming demand for a weekly weekend observation podcast. Everyone loves that crew. So we debuted our first weekly show this week. It is out right now. And we were joined by the great Mel Kiper Jr. How about that?
So it was very popular on Sunday mornings, correct? You did it for many years on Sunday mornings, and people really liked that show. It's like the most popular show in the history of Sunday morning ESPN radio.
We did it Sunday morning, 7 to 9 a.m. for a couple of years, me and Mike Golic Jr. And when I did it as part of Stupidity, it was the most downloads we would get as episodes. That was the most downloaded episodes we would get anytime I had that crew together. And so we just decided, hey, let's do it weekly. So I'll be doing two episodes per week, one by myself and one with that crew.
Okay, very cool. Check out Stupidity wherever it is you get things on your devices. I wanted to bring Tim Kirkshen back because I forgot to ask him about the baseball play from yesterday, which is not something I've seen before. Now, first of all, Josh Donaldson, I don't understand how the Braves got him so cheap. I don't understand why they couldn't keep Josh Donaldson.
The bringer of rain.
I was surprised that he ended up in Minnesota, but yesterday he hits a home run. And then, did you see this, Stugatz? Did you see what he did when he got to home plate?
I can't see everything, man. There's too many sports going
okay,
on.
Okay,
I
mean, very good. You're very busy, and there is a lot of sports going on. So just to inform the audience, Josh Donaldson hit a home run and then just kicked dirt all over the home plate umpire's home plate. And then that umpire immediately kicked him out of the game.
Oh, I did see this.
You just didn't know who you were watching.
Yeah, exactly right.
And then the third pitch was supposed to be a ball. It was a ball, but the umpire called it a strike. And Josh was so mad at the umpire that the very next pitch, he hits a home run. And as he's running around the bases, he's like saying curses to himself. And as he touches home plate, he kicks dirt over home plate and gets ejected instantly.
All right, Tim, have you seen that before? You've seen a lot of baseball. Have you seen that?
No, I'm sure it's happened that a hitter crosses home plate, says something to the umpire, and gets chucked out. I'm pretty sure that's happened. I've never seen anything so blatant as him to kick dirt on home plate while he's yelling at the umpire, while he's crossing after a home run. He just saw Dan Molino miss a call, and he wanted to let him know, basically, I don't know what he said, but you know, you can miss a call, and I'm still going to hit a home run here. It's kind of typical Josh Donaldson. He's a tough guy. He doesn't back down to anyone, and he doesn't give a damn, which is what makes him such a good player.
My favorite part was because there's no fans, you could hear audio of them a little bit, and you could hear the umpire saying to Donaldson, oh, big tough guy. Yeah, keep walking. Big tough guy.
Well, but he was a big tough guy. I mean, it's great what he did. He hits a home run. I don't understand the economics of that sport when Atlanta got that guy cheap last year, Tim.
Yeah, he had a great year last year for the Braves. I did a lot of Braves games last year. They'll tell you that his personality and his aggressive nature really helped turn that team into an even better team. And I was surprised they didn't keep him. Now, they used that money to go upgrade their pitching, which they needed to do. But I was surprised he didn't return. But he got some good money to go to Minnesota. And I think the Twins looked at him the same way and say, we need a real hard-nosed guy in here to come yell at some people. And that's who Josh Donaldson can be.
Does Gardner Minshew look like the guy your mom almost married back in the day before she met your more conservative dad? Does Ryan Tannehill look like the soldier in an alien movie who gets sent in to investigate a crashed UFO? After looking around, he turns and says, all clear, just as the monster disembowels him.
Yes!
He does look like that. Does Brad Stevens look like the next-door neighbor who stands at the top of his driveway, hands on hips, staring sternly at you for having too many cars parked in the cul-de-sac for your annual Oktoberfest party? Does Paul Feinbaum look like the villainous robber baron who challenges you to hot air balloon races around the world?
I'll save that forever!
See you later, Tim. Thank you for being on with us, sir. We appreciate it. Hold on a second. Don't let him go. Don't let him go. Stay there for a second. Does Adam Silver look like the candy stick inside a pack of Fun Dip?
Is that white?
See you later. See you later, Tim. No, stay right there. Hold on a second. Stay right there. Does Adam Silver look like a lamppost? See you later, Tim. Good talking to you.
That is Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Mike has news here. There's locker room commotion news. Shams is doing the reporting on this.
Wow. Shams Charania is reporting that the cursing that everyone heard from the Celtics locker room was actually... Everyone knew it was Marcus Smart, but it was actually directed at Jaylen Brown. They got into a heated confrontation in the locker room.
Yes. It's all falling apart.
Yes.
Paid that man his money.
Marcus Smart probably wants a little more out of Jaylen Brown. No?
I think a lot of people want a little bit more out of Jaylen Brown. And he's the key to their success because when he has a good, productive game, I think over 25 points, they're undefeated or something like that. It's crazy.
But does Jaylen Brown really want to hear after in the fourth quarter he hits two of the threes and he's got a corner three and it's wide open to tie it? Does he really want to hear from Marcus Smart in that situation?
Does anyone want to hear from Marcus Smart? I think he's a bit of an agitator.
But you feel bad enough, right? You've missed the three that would have tied, that would have brought you back into the game. It was a wide open corner three.
Here's the deal with Marcus Smart. Whether or not you want to hear from him, you're going to hear from him.
Yeah, okay? But I'm telling you, like, how much of that do you, if you want to see how that escalates into confrontation, my guess is that Jaylen Brown is a little raw in that spot, doesn't need to hear Marcus Smart's opinion on things.
Jaylen Brown was 8 of 14 last night. Marcus Smart was 5 of 13. Like, who's Marcus Smart?
Well, Jaylen Brown has a higher ceiling than Marcus Smart. They absolutely need more to win this series. They need more from Jaylen Brown, so it might be a turning point, Dan.
We are analyzing locker room commotions.
I think this is galvanizing the locker room.
Locker room commotions. We will see. We can tell you after game three whether they came apart or whether it brought them together.
I can't wait.
We've got to wait, though. We've got to wait. We need a game three scoreboard to tell you what the locker room commotion meant.
If it brings them together, Bill Simmons is writing a book on it.
Yes. That's Marcus Smart leadership. If it doesn't, locker room cancer. So for many years now, we have been doing this celebrity prognosticator where we go and grab random celebrities, whether they know anything about football or not, preferably when they don't know about football, even better. And we go up against Colin Cowherd. And I believe, Mike, we're either 2-1 in three seasons or 2-2 in four seasons. But last year, we made just an unbelievable comeback. And Colin Cowherd totally fell apart, and we won at the end of the season. And so Steve-O has now gotten us started, Stugatz, because he is 3-2.
Yep.
And Colin Cowherd was 2-3. And so we are calling Steve-O now, trying to locate him so that we can do a celebrity prognosticator. And we're hoping to do that at some point before noon Eastern. If not, we'll throw it into the post-game show. But before we do anything else, Christine Lisi, I'm sorry we interrupted you.
The U.S. Navy once dropped a toilet on Vietnam during the war. Speaking of poop that was dropped on an unsuspecting nation years ago, here's Dan and Stu.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Oh, both of us.
Thank
both
you.
Of us get yes. smeared by the feces there. Thank you. I want to talk about pop culture stuff. I want to talk about how Dane Cook put together a table reading to raise money for charity of Fast Times at Ridgemont High using a whole bunch of famous people.
Like no way.
Aniston and Pitt were on there. Morgan Freeman was on there. Sean Penn was on there. It was a whole lot of celebrity people. I was surprised that Dane Cook had the ability in 2020 to pull together this cast of people. That was my reaction. My reaction was exactly the same as yours. Was really, is it the same Dane Cook, a most popular comedian in America across a bright, shining sky? Because, you know, Boston supports guys like Dane Cook. And Dane Cook gets to rise to the places that Joe Rogan and Bill Simmons and Barstool Sports gets to rise because Boston really supports sports and cares about sports. And Boston has a full-fledged, in the sport they love, in the town of Larry Bird, a locker room commotion caused by the Miami Heat. There has been a commotion. There's reporting around the bubble and the commotion. Marcus Smart is yelling at Jaylen Brown. Look at the smile on Mike Ryan's face under that terrible Gardner twin shoe mustache. The Miami Heat have made the Boston Celtics have a commotion in their locker room. Feel that.
I'm not certain if it's commotion or Marcus Smart is just always mad at somebody.
Well, know? There's that as well. Right. But he's not always mad at somebody. He's just mad at people when they're down 0-2. He made a bunch of shots in game one, and Jaylen Brown made some shots late. But that was a – it's look, what you have happening in this series – Mike, help me out here because I tend to be pretty terrible at remembering where it is that people were drafted. But in terms of narratives, if you want to go down the path of guys who have been cast aside or doubted or not considered the very top – picks coming out of the draft, Boston has the guys that are indisputably top of the draft talents that everyone agrees you take that guy high. Miami does not have those guys. It's Goran Dragic. Even their young guys like Duncan Robinson, undrafted, the Bam and Tyler Hero, middle of the first round, not lottery picks.
Yeah, once you get to the middle of the first round, you're hoping for someone that can make some contributions at that point. Superstardom is certainly far from guaranteed, but top three, like the likes of Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown was a very high pick. Yeah, you'd expect certainly a higher ceiling than what Miami's getting, where I think the highest drafted player they have is actually Andre Iguodala, who played 7 minutes last night.
You guys have brought up the zone that the Heat are playing, and it's amazing because Kirk Goldsberry is sending out some stats right now. The Celtics, the main players, Kemba Walker, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, for the season 2019-2020, those guys 21 of 70 from three when the Heat play that zone. And in this series versus man defense, they have 56.7% effective field goal percentage, 1.15 points per possession. Versus the zone, it's 39.5 and 0.94 points per possession.
This is crazy. What just happened?
It's impressive.
No, yes. No. Yeah. Stugatz reading numbers on the radio. No. What just happened
Thank
on
you,
our radio show? Stugatz reading, informing himself of and doing math radio.
Well, because you got to keep bringing up the zone that the Heat are playing. And, you know, I hadn't noticed how effective it was against the Celtics offense. But reading this from Kirk makes it, you know.
Well, they were 0 for 11 from three over a stretch against
crazy.
The zone last night.
Yeah, it's a metric that you can point to and say, ah, coaching. Boston needs to figure it out. The coaching is, can we figure it out? Or is it on the players to figure it out? Because Toronto also changed their series by playing Boston zone. This is how you play the Boston Celtics.
But Mike, help me with the draft positioning of all of the players who are on the Celtics at the top of their food chain, because I am bad at remembering. Bomani Jones can do this into the 70s, like the first pick in the draft. Bob Ryan can do a bunch of this, where he can just pick and tell you
Jaylen
where
Brown
guys.
Jaylen Brown was third overall, I remember that.
And Kemba and Jason Tatum and Gordon Hayward was also high draft pick, was he not?
Yeah, I have it right here. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, both third overall picks. Marcus Smart, sixth overall. Kemba Walker, eighth. Gordon Hayward, ninth. The Heat have 13 with Hero, 14th overall with Bam. Jimmy Butler, 30th. Jay Crowder, 34th. Goran Dragic, 45th. Duncan Robinson, undrafted.
So if you like those narratives, this is what you have happening in this series. Where look, man, if it's based on skill level and how people do the assessments, the empirical numbers, the testing, the Boston Celtics are a more talented basketball team. And the Heat believe in all that stuff, the culture stuff that makes Bam Adebayo look like a world beater at the rim and look like not some kind of inferior athlete when Jason Tatum is going up at the rim on him and he's blocking him. Like, the Miami Heat very much believe all of the stuff that turns a number 14 into someone who denies the number three at the rim. And Marcus Smart, while, Marcus Smart's an interesting character study for the Boston Celtics because he seems like a bit of an overachiever, even though he's sixth overall, and everyone cites him as guy who will chew you up in a dumpster. Like, guy who is the overachiever, even though he's picked number six, whereas Tatum is, just look at him. Just look at how silky smooth
Duke
all that
pedigree.
Is. Just the skin like a porpoise, hairless, hairless like a porpoise, while Marcus Smart's got all sorts of growth on his
face. Hair like a porpoise?
Skin like a porpoise is not exactly. You got away with words, man. I've never heard Jason Tatum.
My point is Jason Tatum is smooth. Smooth like a porpoise's skin without hair up at the rim, 6'9".
What happened to Steve-O?
What did happen to Steve-O? Are we still expecting him?
Guys, it's Steve-O. All right. His last initial is not O.
Oh.
All right. I don't know exactly how to explain this to the audience, what it is to work with Stugat in a tight space. We will get to the club in a second.
Sorry.
But I don't know whether I should say it's from the cartoon world or whether or not. I don't know what original Men in Black, where in a small room, something starts pinballing around at a high rate of speed and everyone has to get out of the room. You know, the kind of scene I'm talking about, right? Something, a rubber ball bouncing at a high rate of speed all over a small room, just ricocheting all over the place for 2 minutes without an ability for anyone to stop it.
Flubber, the Robin Williams vehicle.
Perfect.
So nothing more recent than that, though? We can't do anything more recent. It's all old references.
Sounding old with Flubber? Come on now.
Regardless, this is what I just got hit with, okay?
Man, I just got hit with my age.
The barrage I just got hit with was, and these are non sequiturs. It's just things he throws against the side of my face during breaks. He's not talking to me. He just wants to be heard by somebody. Wow, he's not talking to me because I'm not having a conversation. I'm closing my eyes. I'm hiding behind a mask. I'm trying to concentrate on the job we do.
I am just keeping everyone on the show informed as to what's going on in the world of sports and hoping that something sticks and maybe perhaps we use it on the show.
Interesting. Okay, because I've got five things here and maybe some of them were to be helpful, but here are the five things Stugat said during just this break.
Damn,
okay,
Flubber was 23 years ago.
What?
Hey, Giannis winning consecutive MVPs. Has there ever been a guy who's won a couple of those before making a finals? Then he follows it with, he's one of the few sales guys I like.
Yeah,
then he follows it with, all I need here is a plus one, an even, or a minus one. And then, just totally randomly, at the very end, Stanton really floats in and out of the lineup.
Yeah, Mark Feldman's the sales guy that I like. The plus one, even, minus one. That is Justin Thomas. If you want this thing to be close to the U.S. Open, I'm very excited about it. You want JT to go plus one, minus one, or even today, okay? You don't want him to go like minus four. Then he starts pulling away from the pack. I forget what else I was talking about. But and by the way, that little nugget that you used, what was the first one there?
Giannis.
You used that on the show. I mean, so you're welcome.
That's
for
a good
that.
Nugget. Yeah, you're also missing the part where he got up, put his mask on, only to open my door and tell me that Bryson just hit a 35-foot putt.
Yeah, well, it's not enough that he dent the side of my face in with his heater breath and his nonstop, unrelenting opinions.
Mike, I thought we were DeChambros. I mean, that's why I came in and told you, if he wins this thing on Monday, you and I have to wear our caps.
Well, I got mine. Cobra.
Which of you in the shipping container was helped by Stugatz's, he's one of the few sales guys I like? He was trying to help the show there. Let's open up the club. Vote on the polls at Lebatard Show.
I'm sorry.
An assortment of sounds from the weekend beyond. 8:51 on the West Coast. We're opening up the club. 8:51 a.m. First sound in the club.
Bam, out of the bayou, well coached by Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Kendrick Perkins, all about them goons, continues to be all about them goons from Dade County. Heat lifer Kendrick Perkins, who is most associated with winning championships for the Celtics, also Celtic fans. You have a commotion in your locker room. Kendrick Perkins has already bailed on your team. Mike Ryan spent the evening listening to Boston Sports Radio and phone calls that were simply crying.
I have these notes, but I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today.
Steve Ballmer.
Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Woo! Yeah, that was Steve Ballmer introducing Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Yeah, that is not great today. Who else in the club? That was disturbing. Oh my. Okay. What was that all about? Was that Chris Cody during the local hour making sensual sounds? Yes. Oh my. Okay.
There it is.
Yes. Oh my. Okay. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, there. That's the one. No, that's the one that creeped me out right there. Please stop that. No. Yeah. Vata. No. Before. No. Déjame. No. No. I. Yeah. You're disgusted with yourself. We're all disgusted with you. That is the heat sound that came out of his body of enthusiasm and excitement. That freckled body gave you that. Below the waist. It's unpleasant. Please stop it. No, stop. That is what the heat did to Miami last night. Yes, that was all of Miami last night. Hi. I want him to stop too, Chris.
Please stop.
Yes, we are all disgusted by you, Chris. That was you. That was you. Yes, all of that was Miami Heat basketball. Deeply unpleasant.
I like it.
I do too, but it's deeply unpleasant. I'm very conflicted about everything happening here. I don't like it, but I love it. Oh my, okay. Who else in the club?
Just guys. Oh, fire alarm. The heat is on.
Whoa.
That is a fire alarm going off during our show. That's what my experience is with Stugat's hot takes in a confined area. No, that is not my experience.
Plus one, even minus one.
Stanton really floats in and out of the lineup.
Oh, he does.
He's one of the few sales guys I like. That is Chris Cody laughing. That is more like the sound Chris Cody makes when having sex. No, not that one. The other one. No, not that one.
My wife does.